Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here. Hear the preaching of the Word of God and to hear all about Jesus and how he loved us. And our hearts and feet saying, oh, how I love Jesus. Open now our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from thy law.
Amen. Thank you. Let's take our hymn books once again. Number 101. 101.
Be mowing and weed whacking and
making sure it's cleaned up following that. So the only thing we ask is it be done between Thursday and Saturday anytime to make sure it looks good on Sunday when we all get here for church. So we have that. As we just finished communion, we take an offering whenever we have that for our deacons fund. And that is used for people within the church who have financial needs of some sort. And so if you're interested in contributing to that, take one of the envelopes in the back there, put your gift in it, and mark on it for deacons fund, and put it in the regular offering box. And I'm sure that will be a blessing to whomever we need to give that to. Don't forget our other offerings, of course. We have a regular offering, and then for our speaker, Brother Hitchens, and then also for the tract fund for Mark Reno and his work there, reaching Catholics and others that he comes in contact with. So if you would like to contribute to any of those, the boxes are back there. And before and after our services, you're welcome to stop by, and if the Lord has allowed you to have something to give, that's great. So I think that's the announcements that I have right now. Am I missing anything? Okay. I think we're good for right now. We're doing a special nap at the work until the end. Okay. One more song then before the special and the message. 341.
Oh, known for a long time, had actually never sung it, but always liked it. And so here a while back, I was thinking, you know, we ought to do this song because it has a great message. I think everybody's probably familiar with it.
Song of praise.
All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Hard to believe we're in the month of May. Time is flying by. 1 Peter chapter number 5, and I want to read the first four verses. The Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Let's bow for a further word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this privilege we have to be here today. Thank you for the blessings of this day. Lord, thank you for our time in the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the communion service. Thank you, Lord, for the songs and the fellowship we've had, and now for this time, once again, we have to look into your precious holy word. And Lord, I pray as we consider the word of God today, I pray that you would again speak to our hearts. Pray that the Holy Spirit might have his way in our hearts today. I pray if there be any in our midst, Lord, who have never trusted you as their Savior, today might be that wonderful day that they would say yes to Jesus and know this wonderful thrill of salvation. And then, Lord, as Christians, do a work in our hearts, draw us ever near to yourself. And for all that you do, we'll give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' matchless name, and for his sake we ask it. Amen. I want to bring a message this morning on the shepherd and the flock, as we find it revealed here in the book of 1 Peter. The leader of a New Testament church is called by a number of different titles. He's called an elder, he's called a bishop, he's called an overseer, and he's also called a pastor. You know, sometimes we find these terms used interchangeably, all referring to basically the same office. The term pastor is interesting because it casts the leader in the role of a shepherd. And, you know, when you think about a shepherd has a unique relationship with the sheep. For one thing, the shepherd loves his sheep. You know, I think of that passage where Jesus talked about if the shepherd loses one, you know, he leaves the 99 and he goes looking for that lost sheep. It says until he finds it, until he finds it. And he puts it on his shoulders and he brings it back. Why is it? Because he loves the sheep. And then not only that, but the shepherd leads the sheep. Sheep are not driven. Now, I understand you have to drive goats, but not sheep. Sheep are to be led, and that's basically also what, you know, the New Testament shepherd does. You know, you can't make people serve God, can you? And you can't make people be faithful. You can't make people, you know, do all the things that the Bible says that they should. But one thing that we can do is try to lead folks, and that's what the shepherd does. He leads the sheep. And then the shepherd guards his sheep. You know, I think of that passage in John 10 where Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture." I didn't quote that correctly. Let me do this right now. John chapter number 10, Jesus said, "I am the door." In verse number 9, this is John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." I am the door. Notice he didn't say there, "I am a door," did he? He said, "I am the door." And understand that in the Bible lands, that a lot of times a shepherd would make a sheep fold. It could be out of branches or it could be out of stones or whatever. A place that he could, you know, get the sheep into for protection. And then the shepherd would actually lay down at the opening, and he actually becomes the door. so that if they're going to get in, anything that's getting in has to get over the shepherd because he's the door. And the sheep can't get out either because there he is the door. And so the shepherd not only loves the sheep, leads the sheep, but he guards the sheep. And then the shepherd feeds the sheep. When we think about, you know, the 23rd Psalm, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He leads them to, you know, leads the sheep to the green pastures. And so he feeds the sheep. Now, I want us to focus on the shepherd here in these first few verses of 1 Peter chapter number 5. And notice the command in verse 2. The command is to feed the flock. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Feed the flock. You know, this is the major responsibility that the shepherd has, is to feed the flock. I think of what we read back in Acts chapter number 6. There we have the early church, and it says in Acts chapter number 6, verse 1, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the apostles realized their most important responsibility was praying and giving out the word of God. That's feeding the sheep. And so we see the command to feed the sheep in verse number 2. And also we see the call in that second verse. Notice he also says there, taking the oversight thereof. The shepherd is to take the oversight. The sheep don't get together in a council, you know, and advise the shepherd, do they? No, the shepherd is the one who takes the oversight of the flock. He leads the sheep, you know, where the green grass is. He leads the sheep to where the water is. And so that is his responsibility. And when it comes to, you know, the church of the living God, the folks, you know, should allow the shepherd to take the oversight and lead them. As God's man, you know, for that particular place. And then I see the character here. Notice he says in verse 2 again, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, or rather not for money. That is not to be his motivation. Sad to say, but I'm afraid in some cases this can be a motivation with some folks today. I remember years ago there was we had a man that preached a revival meeting for us. He was had a church down in Tennessee, and although he was a pastor, he did a lot of evangelistic meetings, and he was a good preacher, very good, and very busy. He had a very busy schedule. And so I remember he was with us for a meeting one time, and I remember he told our pastor, Dr. Dickerson, he said, I think I'm going to go back and resign my church and go into full-time evangelism. Well, when he went back to his church and he told them that he was going to resign and go into full-time evangelism, they said this. They said, how about this? If we double your salary and give you a new car every 2 years. Well, he suddenly felt led not to go into evangelism, but to stay where he was. But here's the sad thing about it. Later on, he got into moral problems, and he's out of the ministry today. Now, look, I don't know somebody's heart, but I know that this can be a problem. And we are not to be motivated by money. You know, we've had two men who have come to pastor our church since our founding pastor, Dr. Dickerson, went home to be with the Lord. And in both cases, neither one of those men, when they, and I was on the pulpit committee both times, neither one of those men mentioned anything about money when they came for the interviews and, you know, to look over our work. And when they came to candidate, they did not mention that at all. Now, we believe you should take care of the man of God. We believe that's scriptural. But I believe this, that when it comes to finding the will of God, money shouldn't enter into it. Because I believe this, if you're where God wants you, he'll take care of you. That much I believe. And I know it's the case. When my wife and I graduated from Bible college, we came on the staff of our church, and this is, what, 1971? Well, actually, my wife worked on the staff, actually, even before we went to Bible college. She was Pastor Dickerson's secretary. But anyhow, when we came full-time on the staff, her salary was $25 a week, and mine was $50. And that was with all the benefits. And I could stand here and take the rest of my time telling you how God has taken care of us. Look, I've never missed a meal. You can tell that by looking at me. God will take care of his servant. If you're where you're supposed to be, he will take care of you. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, money shouldn't enter into it when determining if it's the will of God or not. I know of another church right now that they had a fellow come as a possible candidate, and he told them this. He said, I can't come for less than $1,000 a week. I've got to have $1,000 a week. Well, they didn't call him. God knows what our needs are, and he will take care of our needs, won't he? But notice that when it comes to the shepherd here, he said he is not to be there for filthy lucre or money. So, we have the command to feed the flock. We have the call, taking the oversight. We have the character. He's not there for filthy lucre, not there for money. And then notice the conduct in verse 3. He's to be an example, it says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You're not to lord it over people. Now, he's not to be a dictator. Now, I know there are situations where pastors are dictators, unfortunately. But again, you know, you can't drive people. We're to lead people, aren't we? And notice that he's to lead here by his example, being an example to the flock. You know, when it comes to being an example, the pastor, whoever he is not going to be perfect, is he? Because he's a sinner like everybody else. Yeah, and you've heard this, if you find a perfect church, don't join it. Won't be perfect anymore. There are no perfect churches, there are no perfect pastors, and there are no perfect Christians, right? We're all a work in progress, and we're sinners saved by grace. But certainly in the leadership, you should have folks who are exemplary, right, in their life, in their walk with the Lord. Nothing that, you know, you can put your finger on that would be a discredit to the Lord. He's to be an example, and that's what we find here. Then notice the consecration in verse 5. He's to be clothed with humility. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know, we're told about Moses. You remember it said he was the meekest man in all Israel? That doesn't mean he was weak. He wasn't, was he? He was a very strong leader, and he led those people for 40 years. Think about that. A couple million people that he led through the wilderness for 40 years. So he wasn't weak, but it said he was the meekest man in all Israel. In other words, he realized it wasn't him. He realized it wasn't because of him. It was because of God. It's not us, is it? In ourselves, in reality, there's nothing we can do in ourselves of any spiritual value, is there? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so if anything gets done, you know, of any spiritual value, God's going to have to do it. And I think the right leader realizes that. It's got to be God that does it. And so we see the consecration. He's clothed with humility. And then I see the constraint in verse 1. Notice he says, I exhort. The elders which are among you, I exhort. Being exhorted. And, you know, making us realize the importance of these spiritual matters here. And then I see the crown in verse number 4. He says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. There's a special crown for the shepherd, you know, the faithful shepherd as he leads the flock. So I see the focus on the shepherd here. And then the next thing I see is the food of the shepherd. Notice he's told to feed the flock. Well, what's he going to feed the flock? Well, the food, first of all, ought to be fresh, shouldn't it? Food ought to be fresh. I don't know about you, but I don't like stale things. My wife and I go to a store that has some bargains. They got a lot of things that are being close to being out of date, you know, on the labels and so on. And, you know, they put those dates on there, you know, for a reason, but it doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong with it if it goes, you know, it goes past the date. No, there could be. But every once in a while, we will get something, and I'll open it up, and boy, this is not just right. Not quite fresh. And you don't want something that's not fresh, do you? Sheep don't want brown grass. Sheep want that good green grass. And God's people also want something fresh from the Word of God. I try to keep a record of what I preach different places. And, you know, for a long time, I didn't do that. And I got called on it a couple times. And people say, you preached that message here before, you know. Well, of course, if it's a good one, you know, there isn't anything wrong with a rerun if it's a good one, you know. But maybe not, you know, not right away. And so, but I do try to keep a list now, you know, of what I preach different places. And I want it to be fresh. I want it to be fresh for me. And you certainly want it to be fresh for you, don't you? Food should be fresh. And then the food should be nourishing. Something that's going to build us up. Build us up spiritually. We get torn down out in the world. You know, there's plenty out there in the world to tear us down. And, you know, you may work with people that try to tear you down. There may be family members that try to give you a hard time and tear you down. And we have enough of that. When we come to the house of God, we won't be built up, don't we? Built up in our most holy faith. And so that's the kind of food we need. Nourishing food, something, you know, that is going to build us up in our most holy faith. And then it ought to be tasty. You know, I read about the manna. When God gave the Israelites manna in the wilderness, I think that's Exodus 16. Don't turn there, but I think it's Exodus chapter 16. When he gave them the manna in the wilderness, the Bible said that it was there every morning. They had to go out and gather it. And there was enough there for every man's appetite. If you had a big appetite, there was plenty for you. If your appetite was less, there was still enough for you. Regardless of what your appetite was, there was plenty there. And it said it tasted like honey with wafers. Now, I'm sure of this, I'm sure that whatever it tasted like, it had to be good because God sent it. Now, he doesn't send anything that's bad, does he? If he gives it, it is going to be good. Every good and perfect gift, we're told, comes down from the Father of lights, right? Every good thing, think about this, as Christians, every good thing we have ever enjoyed or ever will enjoy in this life is because of God. Because he gave it to us. And so I'm sure that that manna had to be tasty. Now, I've heard different ones try to add to that a little bit and say, well, if you like steak, that's what it tasted like. If you like seafood, that's what it tasted like. I don't, the Bible doesn't say that. I mean, that's somebody's idea. But I know this much, it had to be tasty. It had to be good. And I don't know about you, but I like the kind of food that's tasty. My wife and I have a barbecue place that we found where they have the best barbecue chicken I've ever had in my life. I mean, it is the best. Now, there may be other places that I don't know about, but I know this place, and when we go there, that's what I get because I know what it's going to be like, and it is tasty. And look, when we come to the house of God, we ought to get something tasty, right? Something tasty from the Word. Something, you know, that is a blessing to us. And tasty food. Then it ought to be suitable food. The food that the shepherd gives ought to be suitable. You know, in a congregation, you have folks who have been saved for a long time. You've got some other folks who have been saved a very short time. You've got some folks who are very young. You've got some other folks who are like us. We're getting over very, very far over the hill now. And so you've got a lot of different age gaps, a lot of different experiences. But I found this, that this food will meet every situation. It's kind of like the manna, you know, regardless of what you wanted, it would satisfy your taste. And so suitable food for both young and old. Then a variety. Food ought to have a variety. Now, I like a lot of, you know, here's my problem. I like everything and everything agrees with me. That is a problem. I like it all. And I've been trying to lose a little bit of weight. And not so easy, but the doctor tells me I need to lose a little bit. He said, if you just drop 10 pounds, your blood pressure will, you know, really go down, really affect it. So I know what he's saying. No, it's true. But I like to eat, and I like everything, and I like a variety of things. You know, I love Italian food, but I don't want Italian food every meal, right? And I like seafood, but I don't want that every meal either. I like a variety of things. I think that's true when it comes to, you know, our feasting on the Word of God. And there are some situations, and I've been in some churches, where every message is a salvation message. Well, it's true, you must be born again, right? That certainly is true. But I think, you know, as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, you know, we need something beyond just salvation messages. So we need to preach salvation. And, you know, I think if there's a need, God will lead the preacher to preach, you know, whatever he should along that line. But we need a variety, you know, from the Word of God. And then also, the food that we get ought to be healthy. It should be healthy. I know of some preachers that, you know, it just seemed like everything they do, just a bunch of stories. I like stories, and stories certainly can be effective, you know, as illustrations, but a bunch of stories isn't necessarily preaching the Word, is it? And so it needs to be healthy, and then it needs to be adequate. It needs to be adequate. You know, when I sit down at the table, I want to fill up. I want to leave. I want to be full when I leave. And I think when it comes to, you know, the food that we get from the Word of God, we need to be we need to be filled up. Have you been in services where, you know, it seemed like you've been there for an hour and all of a sudden, hey, where'd the time go? And you could just sit there and, you know, drink it in because God is doing something. God's on the scene. And so the food of the shepherd is the one that God leads, you know, to bring the sheep to the place where they get the good food. So the food of the shepherd. And then this, how about the flock of the shepherd? What can you say about the flock of the shepherd? Well, first of all, this well-fed sheep are content. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm not going to lack anything. I am not going to lack anything. If the Lord is my shepherd, I'm not going to lack anything, am I? He's going to see to it. That reminds me of, heard about a little girl who was in a play, and she was, part of what she was to do was to memorize, you know, the 23rd Psalm. And so she started off and she said, the Lord is my shepherd. And she stopped. And then she started again and she said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then she stopped. She started again. The Lord is my shepherd. And then she said, that's enough. And in reality, if you think about it, if we say that the Lord is my shepherd, that really is enough, isn't it? If he is our shepherd, I guarantee you, that is enough. Because he's going to see to it that we're not going to want. Well-fed sheep are content. Now, I'm not content with me. I am not content with me. Because I know that I have room for improvement. I have room for growth. I haven't arrived yet. You know, I feel like the Apostle Paul, you know, we're forgetting those things that are past, pressing forward towards those things that are before. We're pressing on, but we haven't arrived yet, have we? So I'm not content with me, but I'm content with the Lord Jesus. I'm content with him. I'm content with his salvation. I'm content with his word. And well-fed sheep are content. And then also, well-fed sheep follow the shepherd. Well-fed sheep are going to follow the shepherd. Here's John 10:4. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I got to go to Israel in 1985. It's hard to believe it's been that long ago. But we traveled throughout the land during that. Actually took a course there at the American Institute of Holy Land Studies and traveled really throughout the country. And they taught different parts of the course in different places. Well, one of the places we went was the Ajalon Valley. I don't know if that rings a bell or not. But in the Ajalon Valley, I remember this, there were a couple shepherds with their flocks. And one of the shepherds was playing his flute, and so I got up close enough to him, I actually recorded him playing his flute. And so these two shepherds were conversing, and all the time as they were talking, their sheep were all mingled together, both flocks. And then they said their goodbyes and parted, and guess what happened? As they did, the sheep parted. And those sheep followed their own shepherd. They didn't follow the other one. They knew their own shepherd's voice. And they followed their own shepherd. And so well-fed sheep follow the shepherd, our Lord Jesus. Something else. Well-fed sheep don't fight. James 4:1, it says, for whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust and that war, you members? If they're well-fed, they're not going to fight, are they? Don't feel like fighting. Don't need to. And sometimes I wonder, you know, in our churches when, you know, there are all kinds of problems that take place. And maybe the folks aren't being fed or maybe the food is being put out, but they're not partaking of it. You know, over the years, I've had I've had folks say they were going to leave their church, and I asked them why. I said, well, I'm not being fed. Well, I don't know the situation. I know this much. If God's man is preaching this book, I can get something from it if I want to. When folks say, well, I'm not being fed, well, it could be the preacher's fault, but it could be their fault too, right? But I know this, that well-fed sheep are not going to fight. And then this, well-fed sheep don't go astray. They're going to hang around where the food is, right? I mentioned about in Sunday school about those cats we've been trapping. And although I can't touch them, they're wild as they can be when it's supper time or breakfast time, they are there. They are there to be fed. They know where the food is, and they're going to be there. And well-fed sheep also know where the food is, don't they? They're going to follow the shepherd. They're not going to go astray. Well-fed sheep are going to grow stronger. Here's 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, you may grow thereby. As they're fed, they're going to grow stronger. And that really should be our case, shouldn't it, in our Christian lives? Should be growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And in reality, we ought to be better Christians today, today than we were yesterday, right? We should be. That may not always be the case, but we should be. And, sometimes growth is not always so apparent. Sometimes, when you first get saved, well, you grow like a weed. I mean, all you want to do is read this book. You want to be in the house of God every time the doors are open. And you're just growing like crazy. But then, we maybe reach a place where we sort of level off, and the growth may not be so apparent, but it's still going on. And I'm convinced of this, as we allow the Word of God to sink into our hearts, we're going to grow. And we're going to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the goal, isn't it? To become more and more like Christ. So, well-fed sheep grow stronger. Then well-fed sheep have a healthy appearance. They do. Well-fed sheep have a healthy appearance. And then well-fed sheep produce good wool. And so Christians also that are well-fed produce good fruit in our lives. And that fruit of the Spirit, fruit also when it comes to being an influence for Christ and seeing souls saved. All these are the result now of a flock that is well-fed. And so going back to the text there, he says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So may the Lord add his blessing to his word today. And we want to bow for prayer. And as we do, maybe there's a need in your life. And as we bow our heads, you would say, Brother Bob, wish you remember me in prayer. I do have a need. I'd like to pray for you. Someone today? Just before we pray, please pray for me. I have a need in my life. Thank you. I see that hand. Someone else today. I'm a Christian. I'm saved, but I do have a need. I wish you'd remember me in prayer. Thank you. I see that hand. Yes. And this hand. Thank you. Someone else today. Thank you very much. All right. Please pray for me. Someone else. I don't know everyone that's here. From looking over the congregation, I would say probably the vast majority of people would claim to know Christ as your Savior. It's possible there may be someone here that you would say, I've never really been saved, and I wish you'd pray for me. If that's true, would you slip up your hand? Let us pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word today. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes it and applies it to our hearts. Lord, I do pray for these that raised their hand. You know what their need is. You know exactly how to meet that need. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us. Now, let the word of God sink into our hearts. And just have your will and way now in this invitation. And for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' matchless name and for his sake, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Brother Ralph.
Let's stand, please, as we sing, Savior, let your shepherd lead us. 576.
On the book of Ruth, 7 o'clock. Hope you can come and join us. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Father, thank you for a good day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your man that you sent to us. And we pray that as we continue to seek our new pastor, that you would guide and direct all the details there, and that you would be pleased that is all that is said and done with the search committee and also with all of us as a church body. We pray that you would help us to be faithful in the days that lie ahead as you tarry. And we pray that you would be glorified in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Take care.